this time, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. To the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, looking at verses 14 through 16 this evening, as we consider the ascension of our Lord, of the opportunity we have to pray. Hebrews chapter 4, reading verses 14 through 16. Follow along with me as I read aloud, for this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. From Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thus ends the reading of God's word, and may He add His eternal blessing unto it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open this evening as we study this text together. And so let's turn now to our Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that You open our eyes, that by Your Spirit that You would apply these words to our lives, to our hearts, to our minds. Lord, that we may believe in You and trust in Christ, and that we may draw near to You for comfort. Lord, in this passage, may we see the importance of prayer and the importance of the ascension. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Ascension Day. It's Ascension Day. Kids, do any of you even know what Ascension Day is all about? Well, it occurs 40 days after Easter. It's a day that we remember Christ ascending into heaven, going to heaven after He has given His disciples His final instructions of go to Jerusalem and wait. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He leaves and goes to heaven. And the angels come and they say, well, just as you see Him go, He's going to return this way. We don't get really excited about Ascension Day. Oh, our kids, Christmas time rolls around and they know what Christmas is all about. They do. And they even know that it's not about presents. And so when they come, they know the songs, they know Joy to the World, and they sing with gusto. I've been here at Christmas time and I know I can see it from here. It's the advantage of having a seat here. Christmas we know about. Easter we know about. We can come here and know that Christ is risen from the dead, and we can sing, low in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior, up from the grave He rose. And we know what Easter is all about. But we don't get overly excited about Ascension Day. When it comes to passages that we would say are some of our favorites, I don't think they would be passages that deal with Christ's ascension. When we're looking for words of comfort, when we're maybe visiting someone in the hospital, when we're picking out our favorite stories, I'd be curious how many of us would pick verses about the ascension. And yet, it's extremely important. And it ties in very nicely with prayer day. There is a correlation between the two. You remember in the Ascension Day, that day that with Jesus was by His disciples, and one of, I think it's one of the most to me, one of the most ironic statements ever here in all of Scripture, if I can use that term correctly. Here, Jesus has risen from the grave. Here, Jesus has walked with them for 40 days and has been with them. They've seen his risen body. Thomas has touched the nail prints and has declared, "My Lord and my God." And don't you find it interesting that at the Ascension Day, the disciples have the audacity to say to Jesus, "Is now the time for the kingdom to come?" After Jesus has talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven all this time, is now the time of the kingdom? And Jesus, as he ascends to heaven, ascends and becomes our perfect prophet, our perfect priest, our perfect king. Because after all, Jesus Christ in his ascension sent his word and spirit, sent his word and spirit to speak to us. He is our priest. He intercedes for us. He's our king. He rules and reigns over us and defends us. It talks about the kingdom. If you notice in our bulletin during our prayer time, later on by a couple of our elders, you'll notice that we pray for the kingdom abroad and the kingdom near. There's a correlation between Christ's ascension and our prayers. And this evening, as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, those two are put together very nicely. They're put together perfectly. Because after all, we need Christ to pray. We need Christ ascended. There is importance and significance of Christ ascending. Our Heidelberg Catechism states it in Lord's Day 18. Talks about the benefits of Christ ascending to heaven. He pleads our cause in heaven. He has his own flesh is in heaven. That he sends his spirit on earth as a further guarantee. Those are important things for each and every one of us. But this evening, we want to look at Hebrews chapter 4 to see the importance of the Ascension Day and the importance of Prayer Day. Martin Luther says about this passage a very unique statement. He says, quote, "First the apostle terrifies us, and then he comforts us. He terrifies us, and then he comforts us." There's an old saying I learned in seminary that anytime you study a passage, it says, therefore, you need to know why it's therefore. Okay? What is it therefore? What's the therefore therefore? Well, here's why. It's because, you see, the author of Hebrews, we're not sure who the author is. Some say Paul, some say Apollos. We're not sure, so we just simply call him the author of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews here is talking about entering rest in the previous verses. And there's a warning in it that there are those that could actually fail to believe. There's actually those that could fail to enter into the rest of the Lord that's so graciously provided. There's a word that we use, and you see it a number of times in Hebrews, about the possibility of those who fail in the faith, if I can use that term, to fail in the faith. Or as John would state, that those who we thought were, who said that they were of us and then turned out to not be of us, weren't really with us in the first place. And that word that we use is the word apostasy. And that is a warning of those who know the facts, who know the reality of this all, but fail to believe. And it's something that still occurs today. Whether you go to a Christian school or whether you attend a place of worship, the reality is that that we need God's grace to continue to persevere. And here in this passage, as the author of Hebrews talks about the very fact we may not enter that rest, he then states at the very end of that first section in chapter 4, he says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." The author of Hebrews is saying, listen, we are all going to be held accountable for what we've done, for what we said, for what we've thought. There's nothing that's going to be uncovered. And then the author says, therefore, let me encourage you in the faith. Let me encourage you. Let me give you comfort. And here we find in this passage comfort. And it comes to us in two let us statements. Again, if you're someone who likes to write your Bible or maybe make a little note or whatever, you'll notice there are two let us statements in here. And those are going to be our 2 points this evening. Let us. You'll find the first one in verse 14. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. You'll notice in the second one is verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. We're going to summarize these two with these two let us statements with two words of encouragement that we find here by the author of Hebrews. One is to persevere, and the second one is to pray. And you see, they both are so important for us because you see, we persevere and we pray because you see, we have a high priest on our behalf. One who has ascended into heaven. One who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That is Jesus Christ. And so this evening, let's look at these two let us statements briefly. Before we get to ice cream, before we spend time in fellowship, spend time in prayer, let's look at God's Word together this evening. So let's study these two let us passages, to persevere and to pray. And so let's look at the first one this evening. Let us hold firmly to our confession. Let us persevere. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. What the author of Hebrews is saying to us is to hang on tight, to don't let go. The Christ that you have confessed, the Christ that you profess, don't abandon him. Don't abandon it. Don't stop believing in Jesus. Hold fast. These are good words for us. Because sometimes it really is hard to believe. Believing is not an easy thing. Believing is, as Paul will state, a gift of God. Sometimes it is very easy for it would be very easy for us to simply walk away. Some of us this evening might be in circumstances in life where the belief that God is God and that God is good, those two working together is very, very hard for us. Maybe we're dealing with health issues. Maybe we're dealing with some sadness, some discomfort, some anxieties. And it's hard to put those two together. And we can, as a result, we fear many things. But the author of Hebrews is saying, look, persevere. Hold on. Don't let go. We need something to believe in. If believing is going to be hard, we might as well make our hard work worth it. And the author of Hebrews says, listen, if you want to persevere, I want you to look to someone. You see that in verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Hold on to that confession of Christ. Let him be your encouragement. Let him be your help as you hold fast or hold firmly to the faith we profess. I want you to note how Jesus is described here in this passage. First of all, you'll notice that he's called a great high priest. Not just a good high priest, but a great high priest. Aaron was a pretty good high priest, except for that time when he made the golden calf while Moses was up in the mountain. But overall, we would say that Aaron was a fairly good high priest. We read in Scripture of other high priests that were decent, but none of them were called great. In fact, Jesus is so great, we don't need any other human priest. He is our great high priest. But he's more than just a high priest. You see, he also, our second statement about Jesus here in this passage, why we persevere is because, you see, he has passed through the heavens. And you see, this is where Ascension Day and Prayer Day tie together. He has passed through the heavens. He's not like the old, Old Testament priest that would go into the temple or go into the tabernacle or go in the Holy of Holies and once a year and make sacrifice for the sake of God's people. Jesus Christ didn't just simply enter into a place that represented the presence of God. Jesus Christ ascended and entered into the very presence of God. The very fact that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now, that very fact of that he is there should cause us to persevere in faith. To persevere. Because you see, Jesus Christ is there as our high priest. And that's where he's going to take us. For those of us who believe in Him, that He has said He is going to prepare a place for us, and He has promised to return for us. And He's done that for you and for me. Jesus Christ persevered through space and time. Jesus Christ persevered on this earth. Jesus Christ went to the cross for our sakes, and rose from the dead for our sakes, and has ascended into heaven for our sakes. And so persevere. The third statement we find about Jesus Christ here that the author of Hebrews piggybacks off that idea of the ascension, and that we find here Jesus' name stated, Jesus the Son of God. Therefore, since we have such a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, He mediates for us. He's the best intercessor we could ever have. He is our advocate, as 1 John states. He's the one mediator between God and man, as Paul states. He is our representative before a holy and almighty God. He's not just a godly man called to a pastoral task like Aaron or like the Levites. This is God in the flesh, appointed and called by God, by our Father, to be our mediator, to be our high priest, to be our ascended Lord and our mighty Savior. And so the author of Hebrews says, persevere and look to Jesus. And later on in chapter 12, he will tell us to fix our eyes upon Him, the author and perfecter of our salvation. To fix our eyes on Him. To persevere. Because Christ has ascended. He wasn't just anyone. He was the Son of God. And He has passed through the heavens so that we have the promise that we will go past to the heavens as well. That He is our great high priest. Believing isn't easy. Kids, I'm going to tell you right now I can tell you that your parents and your grandparents and your friends, parents here, that us as adults, it's not easy and it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. But if we're going to have something to believe in, then we should believe in Jesus Christ. Because He has shown us His power. And He continues to show that power and that strength that He has. And He continues to give it to us as our call to worship. J.C. Ryle compares religion without doctrine to a body without bones. If we're going to believe, let's believe in something. Why not believe in Jesus Christ? Why not persevere? Why not hold firmly to the faith we profess? Or maybe tonight, maybe it's instead of holding firmly to the faith we profess, maybe by God's Spirit and by His Word, you're stating, you know, maybe this is a faith I need to profess the first time. To look to Jesus and to cling to Him. The reality is this, dear friends. Our Christian friends can at times let us down. And there may be times that our church disappoints us. There are moments where life seems to cave in. And it can be, the temptation is there to simply let go of Jesus. But take heart. Because Jesus doesn't let go of us. Jesus told his followers, no one can snatch you from your Father's hand. No one. If Jesus is not willing to let us go, then we should cling to Him all the more and persevere. To persevere. To hold fast. To hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Our first point on this Ascension Day, to persevere. Secondly, we want to also look at the second lettuce statement, and that is this. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Remember that, therefore, we have a great high priest, we have one who has ascended into heaven, that is Jesus, the Son of God. Well, because of His ascension, we can go to our Lord and pray. That we can approach the throne of grace, not with fear and trepidation, but we can go, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Because there we'll find mercy. There we'll find grace. We'll find one who will meet our needs. We can come with boldness because of Jesus. Because of His ascension. The author here is exhorting us is to boldly and believingly approach God, to trust Him, to pray to Him, because Christ intercedes for us in heaven. We can approach Him with confidence about anything. There are things about ourselves that maybe this evening we don't really want to share. We're pretty free about talking about our what Jerry Bridges calls in his book, respectable sins. If we were to gather here in small groups after in fellowship time and say, hey, look, I'm dealing with the problem of worry, we'd all go, I worry too. Or maybe some of us would say, you know what, I have anger issues. And some of us might go, I can lose my temper too sometimes. The respectable sins. But some of us here this evening have skeletons in our closet. Some of us here this evening might be dealing with abuse. Substance abuse. Some of us might be struggling with pornography. Some of us might have addictions. We all have skeletons in our closets. And we can, because of Christ ascending into heaven, because of Christ paving the way for our prayers, the reality is we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. And we can lay all these things before our Lord. And the reason why is we find in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus knew every type of temptation. Jesus experienced that in the desert when Satan tried to tempt Him 3 times. Jesus lived in space and time. This is the Lord God Almighty incarnate, living under the laws that He is, the laws of nature, living in this fallen world. Jesus knew those temptations. Jesus experienced what it was like to be hungry, what it was like to be thirsty, what it was like to be tired. Jesus experienced the horrible agony of physical torture. Jesus was tried. Jesus was crucified. Jesus knew what it was like to be mocked. Jesus knew what it was like to be distrusted, maligned, and betrayed by friends. But Jesus never failed. And Jesus never fell. And we praise God for that. Because you see, He could be our once for all sacrifice, as the author of Hebrews will state.
He understands. And so we can draw near to God with confidence. No matter what the sins that we're facing, we can go to our God and He won't be, our Lord, He will not be condescending. He will not look down upon us. With Jesus Christ interceding on our behalf, Lord Jesus will say, I understand. I understand what it's like to be tempted. I was there and yet He was without sin. He was tempted in ways that we'll never realize, and yet Jesus intercedes for us. Have you ever thought this evening, and maybe it's just something we should consider as we pray this evening, recognize that Christ is our ultimate prayer partner? We talk about praying for one another and with one another. Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He is our prayer partner. He is our advocate. He is ready to defend us. He is ready to plead for us. And all that happens because of the ascension into heaven. And the promise that He'll come back. He's gone through things that we won't understand. We won't ever understand it. But He understands what we go through. He knows what we are facing. He knows what we're facing right now. He knows what we will face. He knows when we have fallen. He knows when we have failed. And we praise our God that He never fell or failed in life. That because of what Christ has done for us, we can go to our Lord in prayer and we can hold on to those words that Jesus promises his followers and says, Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this passage. He says, when we approach the throne of grace, we should come with reverence. Not proud, not vain, but to come reverently, humbly. We can come with great joy. Because we have the privilege of being God's children, of calling Him our Father. We can come, as Spurgeon says, with enlarged expectations to know that God, by God's grace, that He will answer our prayers. We can go to our God and approach the throne of grace in submission to know that He will do far more than we could ask or think. Spurgeon says the fifth point of this is that we can come confidently. That we can pray often, openly, boldly, freely, and gladly because our Christ has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, where He pleads our cause in heaven, where His ascension is a promise that we too will have a guarantee, as our Heidelberg Catechism states, that He will take us, His members, to heaven with Him. To know that Christ's ascension is a promise that is a further guarantee because He sends His Spirit on earth. That our goal is not things on earth, but the things above. John Piper uses an analogy of prayer, that prayers are walkie-talkie that gets the supplies that we need in the spiritual war that we're engaged in. Piper will say it's not an intercom to call the maid to bring extra beverages to the den. Prayer isn't for us to be comfortable and cozy. Prayer is our walkie-talkie to bring in the needed supplies that we need as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And so the author of Hebrews tells us to persevere, to hold fast your confession, to pray, to draw near, to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to pray to persevere. And we need to persevere to pray. And that only comes because of the priest that we have. A great prophet, our great priest, and our great King. our ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And let us approach the throne of grace with confidence to persevere and pray. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to cling to You, to draw near to You, because You have promised You'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, give us the help that we need and the blessings that we don't deserve. Lord, this evening as we pray for Your kingdom, Lord, may we persevere in prayer and pray for perseverance. Thank You for our ascended King, our ascended our great High Priest, a prophet who speaks to us by Your word and Spirit. We thank You for Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers, for it is in His name we pray, and let all of God's people say, Amen. This time.